What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kicks and Picks Podcast. Nick, Scotty, back with you here. It is Wednesday, March 12th. We have just wrapped up Champions League round of 16. We are on to the quarterfinals. 8 teams left. Going to get into that very briefly just to tell you guys how great we are. We have the, is it the Carabao Cup final?
Carabao Cup final, second Carabao biggest final. Energy drunk in Thailand.
Second biggest energy drink in Thailand, if you've been following along. And we've got a really good slate in England and in Italy. A couple other big matchups around the globe, so we will do our very best to touch on most of them. Get you guys some bets, get you guys some thoughts, and roll with it. So, Scotty, bittersweet week for you, I imagine, because on the one hand, we hopped on last week, and I think we gave out potentially the greatest advice in Champions League history.
Yeah.
On the other hand, bittersweet ending for your squad, who quite honestly, I want your thoughts. It's 50-50 for me that Liverpool played two of their worst games of the year, but PSG also have proven to me that they're that formidable.
Yeah. I don't know that Liverpool played that bad. I kind of said in our group chat, I was like, I think you could make a case that holding PSG, that PSG team, to one goal in 210 minutes is maybe the greatest accomplishment of Liverpool's season. I mean, they're going to win the league, but league was, you know, lacking of any real contenders, title contenders outside of Liverpool this year. Arsenal, you know, had their issues. City have been a disaster. You know, United are a disaster. They really haven't been, you know, a second fiddle in this league. So even though it's a nice, you know, accomplishment, I think the hardest thing that they've done is play this PSG team. It's definitely the best team they've played so far, you know, in any competition. The way that attack is set up with pace and playing down the wings is perfect to expose all of Liverpool's weaknesses, right? Like, you know, we know Alexander-Arnold isn't the most, you know, defensive-minded wing back. We know Andy Robertson is well beyond his best days and is probably going to get replaced in the summer. You know, it put all the pressure on Van Dijk, Konate, and Alisson, who stood up for it for, you know, the better part of 210 minutes, right? Yeah. I think the only goal they conceded was Konate had an awkward clearance that he was trying to run towards goal and hold off Dembele and just didn't get a clean clearance on it. It happens. Maybe the more disappointing part was just the lack of attack from Liverpool. Yeah. But honestly, Nuno Mendes is an unbelievable left back. I didn't really know much about his game. You know, Shaq meme, you know, I was unfamiliar with your game.
But yeah.
He was fucking unbelievable against Salah, just everywhere. The midfield ran basically everything down. I think they outran Liverpool, which is crazy when you look at some of the players Liverpool have between Szoboszlai, Nunez, and Diaz, who are always tracking back and pressing. I am not at all bitter about losing to PSG in this. I was very honest when we talked last week. I said it's a one goal, you know, advantage right now for Liverpool, but they were outplayed for 92 minutes in Paris. And going home, you feel pretty good. But, you know, that PSG team is just relentless in energy and in talent. So, I think they were a worthy winner. I'm not too upset about it. This is a Liverpool team that is coming into their first season with a new manager that spent virtually $0 in two transfer windows to really change anything from last year's team that finished third in the league and wasn't even in the Champions League. So good building blocks, but plenty of flaws in this Liverpool team that need to get addressed. You know, I'm very much done with you know, the Diaz and Nunez experiment. I would almost rather keep Darwin at this point than Diaz. Diaz is the player that does so much without actually achieving anything in many of these matches. I think he has one goal in 2025 so far across 12 matches. So I think it's time to move him on as well. But, you know, we go again. I'm excited to see how the rest of the quarterfinals shape out. I think we have some really good semifinals that we're going to be coming up against. I think the quarterfinals maybe aren't going to be as interesting, but we'll see.
Yeah, apologize. My mic got disconnected there for a second, so thank you for carrying that. like you said, really kind of good that maybe, you know, we just weren't familiar with it. I've been seeing stuff like the past couple of weeks, so, you know, every team in the Champions League and they're boasting about their wingbacks. And it's like, who are the best wingbacks in football? And like, you're looking at everybody and it's like, this
dude,
the way they're talked about, it's like, oh, goals and assists, goal contributions, like, man, I don't know. The criteria for being the best defender in the world used to be defending. Like, I've tweeted that, I feel like, two or three times now. And he might be the real deal out of everybody that I've seen mentioned. Like, Hakimi good player. You think about him going, you don't think about his defensive prowess. So to hold Liverpool to pretty much no offense over two legs, credit to them. You know, I trash PSG week in, week out, year in, year out in the Champions League. This has been their biggest feat to date. So credit to them. We told you guys last week they were plus 1,600 to win the Champions League. We said that was the best value on the board. They overturned this result. They're now the favorites, the betting favorites to win the Champions League at plus 320. So if you took our advice, if you placed that ticket, you are sitting on a pretty fat cash out right now. And you have a lot of options. Let's see. Just going forward, they will be playing Aston Villa, which is, I mean, probably
a lot easier than Liverpool. Yeah.
You know, they avoided Arsenal, the better team in England. They avoided Madrid. They avoided Bayern, Inter, Barcelona. So I think you have to let it ride at least one more game, at least one more round. But feeling pretty good about the advice that we gave out. I would say pretty much every team that we said has did what they needed to do. You know, you didn't really get much of a better number on Madrid or on Arsenal. Inter's down to plus 1,100. They were already half qualified, so you picked up a couple hundred there. And Villa, pretty much we said, you know, that was a free hit going forward. The only other team that moved was Dortmund. They went from plus 10,000 to plus 4,000. So if you believed in them, you know, sweet.
No, yeah, I think we're positioned well. Like I alluded to, I think the semifinals, you know, look, there's always chance for upsets, but I think you're looking at a semifinals of PSG versus Real Madrid, which will be very interesting. Probably the two best attacks in Europe going up against each other. So very curious to see how that shakes out. And I think if everything plays out the way I would expect, you get a rematch of Barcelona and Bayern in the other side of the bracket. You know, obviously Dortmund or Inter can have their say with that. You know, those are probably a little bit more open game or, you know, open to interpretation quarterfinal matchups. But if Barcelona can get it done against Dortmund, a Dortmund team that I'm not super high on again this year, they should. And if Bayern can kind of, you know, push through the Harry Kane jinx and get through Inter, I think, the two semifinals that we get will probably be two of the best ones you'll see in a while.
Yeah, I mean, six out of the eight teams are very good. Six out of the eight teams can win the competition, I think, if we're being honest. Yep. So talked a lot about the new format. You know, I think it's good. I think we're getting quarterfinals that we want to see. And once again, we're potentially on the right side of history with the tickets that we're holding. So feel pretty good about it.
Yep.
Shout out everybody in the chat. Ahmed, John, Leg, appreciate you guys for sure. Better not be talking shit about Lazio. I didn't see any comments on Vinny Jr. today. If we want to talk about some stuff, I mean, subbed out before the PKs.
Well, I mean, he did take a PK. He just he missed. So
Carlos saw everything he needed to see.
Can't be missing two PKs. That's not good for the Ballon d'Or resume. You know,
rough. Let's get into the EPL. Let's see what's going on this week. Saturday morning, early game is 11. There's no early game, which, shout out EPL. That's good.
It's the Carabao Cup, right? So that's two fewer matches in the Premier League this weekend. So no need to do an early kickoff when you only have eight matches to work with in the first place.
Fair enough. So Man City at home to Brighton. City minus 145, Brighton plus 350. Two teams that I believe we got right last week, right? We had Brighton. Yep. They've continued to impress. They're on a run of four straight wins all the way up to seventh place, knocking on the door of a European spot for next year. And then you have City, who
dropped to Forest as we
did not get it done. We had Forest in that game. So City outside of top four right now. Chelsea overtook them. Would be really cool to see it happen again, but I don't know that I'm quite ready. Scott, what do you think? Does Brighton have a shot here away from home to get a result? Draw also sitting at plus 330.
I think that's the key. The key right there is they're on the road in this one. You know, City have been super inconsistent, right? Like, I think they've basically alternated win-loss over their last, like, month and a half. So if you go by that pattern, they're due for a win after losing to Forest. But yeah, like, Brighton obviously have picked up form tremendously in the past month. Four straight wins. Obviously picked up the win last weekend against Fulham. So certainly looking much more like themselves. And yeah, I would be inclined to agree with Leg here. I think typically I would, you know, go towards a Brighton getting some result here. But you know, it's certainly an interesting predicament. History tells us that this fixture loves goals. It's been over 2.5 goals in 5 of the last 6. The line is unfortunately set at 3.5, which is probably about right. So the question I have here is, in a shootout type game, if you're betting on one of these teams to get a result, who's it going to be? I'm kind of inclined to go with City right now. I know that their offense has been kind of lackadaisical compared to their typical standards, but Brighton's defense hasn't been, you know, fantastic. Even in their wins, they're still conceding on the, you know, a regular basis. You know, aside from Southampton, who stinks. So I can see City getting 2, maybe 3 in this.
It's interesting that you say that, which, like, by every fiber in our being that we've been trained over the past 5, 6, 7, 10 years, like, of course City's going to get 2. They always get 2. But
yeah, I mean, aside from, you know, their home games, aside from Liverpool, you know, they've been scoring 2 or 3 goals, right? You know, they scored 3 against Chelsea, they scored 4 against Newcastle, shut out against Tottenham, but Tottenham's kind of their, or no, they scored 1 against Tottenham, excuse me, which is, I guess, better than their norm, because usually Tottenham runs them. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like things are kind of like, they're playing with house money at this point. Like, they've lost the league, they're out of the Champions League, they're not in a, you know, the Carabao Cup, they're really just playing for the FA Cup at this point. They look like they're playing a little bit more free. You know, yeah. Pep's not clawing his scalp off with his fingernails during matches anymore.
Is really his divorce just finalized? Is that why?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Are calling them the Juve of the EPL this year. No trophies.
That's kind to City's defense, because at least Juve can still play defense. City's defense has been suspect.
Long way of listen, trying to talk a little shit about City here. I'm with you guys in theory. I'm going to go the safer route, as I usually do. I'm going to take Brighton +1, sitting at -130. I just like to be able to buy myself a couple more outs. You know, that gives you them losing by 1 and you get your money back, which I think is a possibility. Brighton has been scoring 1-4 in a row. So give me that team. Just give me a goal on the goal line there. So if you're getting that anywhere at -130, I'm kind of all over it. And if City do the thing and score multiple goals, well, good for them. But the way they've been playing, I can't really see it. And the thing about Brighton, I think they've shored up their defense a little bit. It's not great, but it's like on par with what City's doing. So it's looked exponentially better than it did early in the season. So I like Brighton in this form.
The defense lately hasn't been great, right? Because this is also coming off of that 7-goal, you know, defeat to Forest, maybe four
games. I keep forgetting that was Brighton.
Yeah. So it's the defense had been good because their offense was pretty whack for the, you know, was it November through January period. But then it's kind of picked up. So we're back to easy overs with Brighton, right? There's been tons of goals. And I just looked, I was like, maybe I can get a cheap City team total in here. The City team total over 1.5 is -205. It's not playable.
Gross.
Which goes to my point. Like I said, I think City are going to get 2 or 3 in this. That's kind of right in line with that. So I'm going to stick to my guns here. I'm going to just stay with City money line. I think the books kind of confirmed that with their team total lines for me. I think this is going to be a 3 or 4 goal game. And City are going to get 2 or 3.
Fair
you
enough. Know,
if you plus, want, you EPL, get the +1. Could be a 2-2, right? 2-2, no. You'd cash the +1. If it's a 2-1, then you draw. You just got to hope City doesn't get 3.
No, I think that's fair. Let's roll on to the next big one. Arsenal at home to Chelsea. Arsenal -125. Chelsea +330. Draw +265. Chelsea draw no bet is +215. Chelsea don't look now. All the way up to 4th. 2 straight wins. Arsenal winless in 3.
Yeah, it's weirdly enough, it's probably one of the more meaningful Northwest London derbies in, you know, the past few years. Chelsea have been obviously pretty poor for a lot of this time, so hasn't been a whole lot. There's been a decent amount of space between the clubs and the table.
By the way, I was today years old when I found out Conor Gallagher went to Atletico Madrid.
I know. Yeah, that was one of those. that was one of those like shady, like both teams needed to sell players to like be financially compatible. So that's how Joao, was it Felix or which one of the Joao's? Mm. Yeah, Joao Felix, right? Mm. Came to Chelsea, didn't play at all, then now went to Milan. So yeah, all funky money laundering schemes basically between those clubs. But anyways, to my earlier point, if Chelsea win this game, like Arsenal probably have a little bit of doo-doo in their pants, right? Like they're getting dangerously close to being calling themselves title contenders back in, you know, as recently as like early February to potentially not even making Champions League, depending on how many slots get put in. So, I think Arsenal, we're going to slap a must win on this, because if they lose this game, and even honestly a draw with, you know, City and Forest potentially picking up points here, does not feel good. They're in a little bit of a rut, two draws and a loss. And as I mentioned back when they played West Ham, the fixture list isn't getting easier for them anytime soon. So they really need to double down here. Going into an international break, I'd call this as much of a must win for Arsenal as they've had in probably the last two or 3 months.
And I think they're lucky. They were at home today. They had a stress-free game, right? They were up seven goals or six goals in aggregate, whatever it was.
Raheem Sterling, man of the match.
Unreal.
Never thought I'd hear that again.
Absolutely unreal. Dude looked like prime Messi dishing out the fucking assist today. Every time I say it's a prove it to me game for Arsenal, they've pretty much come through this year. I will give them that. What it's gotten them? Nothing. You know, second place, 15 points back with 10 games to go. It doesn't mean shit, but they've pretty much they've taken a step, at least I believe in mentality, if that's worth something. And obviously they're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. So I think there's still belief. I think they still have some good stuff to play for. And I kind of look at this Chelsea team and it's like the least impressive fourth place team I can remember. I don't know. Cole Palmer, dude, maybe we mushed him. Like that dude has looked like shit pretty much all year. And I love Cole Palmer. I think he's an outstanding player. So I don't know where they're getting goals. I don't know what they're exactly going to do in this game. And Arsenal just trots out these weird fucking lineups that, I don't know, seem to work. So weird game for me. I think there's fat, juicy numbers on a lot of goal scorers. I think you'll see good numbers on shots. You'll see good numbers on to score or assist. Going to wait to see what the lineups look like in this one, but I'm hard pressed to find a side here. I mean, last week I felt like Arsenal was taking on United, right? And we're like, oh, like I'm going to be worried about this because they have a game in a couple days, but today's game essentially didn't matter. And they still blew that game against United, right? They still went down early. I mean, they dominated the second half. They could have got the win. They could have gotten more than one goal. It just didn't come. But it's put me in a position to not really trust Arsenal other than saying they've performed in this type of game so far this year.
Yeah, I think the pick that I'm going with, and you can shop it because you'll probably find a better number. I'm seeing both teams to score is minus 130. Both teams to score is
nuts.
Four in the last five. I get it. Listen, I get it. Arsenal's a defensive first club. They're really lacking offensive talent right now. Although I think Martinelli's coming back or is on his way back.
He's back, but he looked like shit over the weekend.
So, but that's, you know, better than just playing a midfielder, you know, out of position, or maybe not if it's Calafiori, who, you know, looked incredible when he was playing in the front line there. But I don't know. I think that's the one that I just want to take. I could see this reeks of 1-1 draw, if we're being completely honest. Like I can see very much that Arsenal are going to get a jammy goal. I'm going to see Chelsea having one goal that where they just put everything together and find like a, you know, a nice opportunity to score. So I like both teams to score at minus 130. I think that's pretty good.
Yep.
That way, if it becomes a 2-1, it doesn't really hurt you either way. You know, even looking at team totals in this, Arsenal team total over 1.5 is minus 130. I'm not touching that. That's terrible. Like I don't know who's getting two goals for Arsenal. That's a lot to push for a minus 130 number. But Chelsea, again, I get Arsenal's a defensive first team. Over 1.5 plus 210.
They're baiting us for Chelsea. Like every number on the board says take Chelsea. They money are. Line is juicy. The draw no bet's juicy. The team total is juicy. Double chances plus money. Everything is telling you to take Chelsea. I just can't do it. I don't know. I just don't have it in me at this moment.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I think, like I said, I'm going to take the both teams to score. I might do a little something on a Chelsea team total. Or honestly, like if they're scoreless in the first half, then just take Chelsea to score in the second half. Because there's no way Chelsea's getting shut out in this.
No.
So maybe finagle it a little bit with the live bet.
No, I think that's fair. Man, there's actually like it's a pretty good slate. Anything else you want to just throw out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very tempted to take Everton at home, money line plus 110. I know Graham Potter has made West Ham look much better defensively, but offensively still not quite, an attacking force, let's just say.
Everton are above West Ham in the standings, just throwing that out there.
They are, and, you know, at home, it feels like a game that Everton should be winning under David Moyes. So I don't mind that. Bournemouth-Brentford, that's going to be probably the most fun game, I think, to watch this week. I would expect there to be tons and tons of goals in that. I'm going to check the total real quick. I'm going to be surprised if it's not 3.5. It's 3.5. But honestly, like, again, I don't mind. I probably would be willing to play over 3.5 in this because Brentford are going to get, you know, a couple. It's just a matter of can Bournemouth keep up at home, which they should. So,
thank you.
Yeah, Matt. I think it's probably the most fun one of the bunch. Anything else?
I almost want to believe in Tottenham just because I think like it's a weird game that Fulham won't do anything, but Fulham lost their last game. So maybe they're another team that flip flops. Maybe it's a game that they win at home. I don't know. Don't know what to make of either team, to be honest.
I just saw this line. I skipped over it because it was after the Everton or before the Everton West Ham game. Forest are plus 100 on the road money line at Ipswich.
Well, that's didn't even say it.
Yeah, I missed that completely. That might be the pick of the week.
Yeah, why is it?
How are Forest winning against City and then dropping points to a relegation team in Ipswich?
Letdown game. I don't know. No, that I don't.
Somebody
know.
In the chat, tell me why we shouldn't take Forest money line as our like lock of the week, and I'll move on.
I'm willing to stamp it.
That's crazy.
All right, let's move on to the cup then. It's the EFL Cup, technically. We know it as the Carabao Cup. Big fans of Carabao here on the podcast. Second
I got to buy some Carabao. And
I've been looking for it for 4 years, to be honest with you.
I mean, you would be the guy that'd be able to find it. I would trust your distribution skills.
No, haven't been able to find it. But
they got that shit on Temu, maybe?
Our sources tell us it is the number two energy drink in Thailand. And I think it's going away after this year, right? They're changing the sponsorship of the cup.
They changed the sponsorship. Yeah. I don't know who gets it next.
Terrible. But you have two teams here really looking for some silverware. Liverpool, a chance to make good off of their disappointing Champions League campaign. Newcastle looking to win something for how many years has it been since they've gotten silverware? We don't know off the top of our head. That's how long.
I can tell you.
Where's the game played? I'm sorry. I want to speak intelligently.
Wembley. It's at Wembley Stadium. Yep.
Okay. So Liverpool is a pretty sizable favorite here, minus 155 on the money line. Newcastle plus 380. Draw to game to go into extra time, plus 320. Scotty's going to give some thoughts, and I'm going to look up my two favorite bets of a cup final.
Yeah, things were looking very promising for Liverpool going into this match. I think Anthony Gordon was going to be out, suspended, the Liverpool native. So that was always good because he tends to have good games against Liverpool. Sven Botman's going to be out, one of their defenders. So hopefully opening things up for the attack. Like I said, all things kind of trending Liverpool's way. This, penalty loss midweek does not do them any favors. Konate came off with cramps, so I'm assuming he'll be available. Trent is off. I think he tweaked an ankle. I don't think he's going to be ready. Connor Bradley, the backup right back, is also out. So they're going to be fielding a makeshift right back, which is never really great against Newcastle. So I don't know. I'm now a little bit more concerned about Liverpool actually getting the first trophy of the season, even though I know they're heavy favorites, minus 155. So it's a little bit more of an open game. Like, I think this is very much like Newcastle has no expectations coming into this. Isak is back, and we know how much he drives the success of this club. In Liverpool against PSG, even when they had fresher legs, before the 120 minutes of, Champions League action, the attack didn't look good. Like I said, nobody does more to achieve less than Luis Diaz. Dude is just constantly dribbling across the pitch width-wise and then tries to fire past to Salah and fires into the first defender. It's It's crazy. Gakpo did make an appearance. He might be available for this in a sub capacity. So I mean, that might help them. You know, Bisogna has looked off the mark. So I don't even know that him starting over Nunez is going to be a huge lift. So I'm a little bit more concerned. You know, I certainly don't love Liverpool on the money line here. I think, you know, if you're betting this game, you should be betting on Newcastle because that's where the better money is going to be. And then, frankly, I think it's going to be a competitive game. Like, this is not going to be a game that Liverpool walk. So,
yeah. And listen, I don't even want to say that Salah looks human because it was impossible for him to keep up this stretch over the course of an entire season. He just looks tired. Like, he just looked, you know, he's that's, I guess that's human, right? You could only do so much. And it's, you know, he's, I don't want to say loud, that's not the right word, but like we're you know, guys can't do it every single game. You saw it with Vinny Jr. and Mbappe today, right? They two meaningless games for those guys. You see it with everybody over the course of the year. So to your point, Scotty, the game like this in a final, I'm going to go with my very two favorite bets. Liverpool to win on penalties is plus 1500. Newcastle to win on penalties is plus 1500. So split yourself a unit, quarter of a unit, tenth of a unit, whatever you're comfortable with. Because Scotty will tell us off the top of his head how many Liverpool games have gone to penalties in finals like over the past 5 years.
And for what it's worth, the domestic cup ones they do pretty well with, but that's with, you know, Clive Kelleher as the keeper, not Allison.
9'12"
Yeah, Allison apparently does not have the greatest record. I think he's now lost 5 of his 8 penalty matches.
Yeah, he didn't look very good the other day.
So concerns. And honestly, like if we're going to be honest, like full transparency, if Liverpool go into international break losing back-to-back games in penalty kicks, it's going to be a really dark time in my household. I'm not going to do well.
Yeah.
So I hope your bets, if it wins, it's because Liverpool win in penalties. Otherwise, I can't. I'm not stomaching that. I may not even watch the penalties, if we're being honest. Yeah. That's too much for me.
Fair enough. But to Scotty's original point, just like insight, analysis, thoughts on the game, all the money has to go towards Newcastle because it's theirs to lose from the sense that like they need this. They have nothing else to play for. Liverpool essentially have locked up the Premier League. They're going to take that title home. Newcastle are going to go all out. You have to believe they're going to go all out for this game. I do think it'll be low scoring, quite honestly.
Anymore. I think, let me see if Newcastle are still in the FA Cup. This might be their only, they're out. So this is Newcastle's only chance to really have any success this season after what's basically been a lost season for them.
So for that alone, you could take them double chance. You could take them three quarters of a goal. Yep. You could take them even plus one at minus 130. I think, and those are all 90-minute lines. So over the course of 90 minutes, I think you give yourself a big chance for Newcastle to pull something. Wouldn't surprise me if they won by a goal. Wouldn't surprise me if they lost by a goal. Wouldn't surprise me if it went to extra time. But a game like this, you know, definitely wait for lineups. But I really do like the penalty angle for this one. It happens more often than you think. And Liverpool have a tremendous track record of getting these cup finals to penalties.
Yeah. I think my two picks here, I'm going to take Newcastle plus half a goal. It's plus 115. You know, if this game becomes a game of endurance and just outlasting, you know, Newcastle are fresher. They didn't play midweek. They certainly didn't play 120 minutes against a PSG team that just runs the shit out of you. And so if Liverpool don't have like a 2-goal lead going into like the 70th minute, like I think it's going to be, you know, a real tight finish for Liverpool fans. So I'll take the half plus half a goal for Newcastle on that one. I also like Isak to score plus 170. I think this is a final. This is going to be the biggest stage. The defense, you know, the two center halves for Liverpool just put in a huge shift. Konate obviously came off with cramps. I think Isak's going to be a huge problem for them, especially if they're going to put like, you know, Kwanzaa as right back. I think, you know, Isak will be smart enough to figure out how to exploit that. So I think he shows up here. I think he's going to get one, you know. This is probably a game that's going to have multiple goals. It's not going to be a PSG Liverpool game where it's, you know, 1-0. So I'll take Isak with anytime goal scorer as well.
No doubt. Want to head over to Italy?
Yeah, let's do it.
Pretty solid weekend there as well. I don't know, guy. I hope everybody's got multiple TVs. I hope you've got DVR. I hope we've got no plans for the weekend because we can pretty much bet on every game in the two leagues. Like, I think just about every game is bettable, and that's not always the case.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
I guess we'll have to start with our chat faithful and the squad, AC Milan here at home to Como. I have no other way to say it. Milan need the must win of all must wins for them. They, I guess, showed us something last week going down 2-0 and coming back to score 3 and winning the game 3-2. I already forgot who they were playing. It was a pretty shitty opponent. But they're in 9th place. Roma has surpassed them. You know, Fiorentina, who has lost 4 of their last 5 games, is ahead of them still. Como's look good. They've been giant killers in the past couple weeks. They're up to 13th place. You know, they have points in, I think, 4 of their last 6 games. So by no means are Como a pushover, but Milan need this game. Like, this is it has to be a must win. And really what I'm struggling with for these guys is they're still not getting offense from their strikers. Jimenez, really, outside of like game 1 and game 2, he's had some bad luck. He's had some VAR goals, you know, whatever, but he hasn't looked that good. João Felix, he's not even getting starters minutes, right? And he was a big transfer coming in. So tells you everything you need to know about him. Pulisic looks kind of tired to me. Leao does the Leao thing where he shows up when he feels like it, which seems to be every other game or every other half. I don't know. I'm really struggling to see where they're getting the offense from consistently, and, you know.
Yeah.
But they need to do it. -130 on the money line. I don't know. And we've been tailing Como for quite some time. Like, they've made us some money. Nico Paz has made us money. He's a shot on target machine. He's a goal scoring machine. But ever since they moved him kind of like to the false 9, his form's dipped a little bit. I think he's a lot more comfortable playing behind strikers. Como just doesn't happen to have a striker. So
I think it's a fine line, because I think we went the opposite way in England a couple times. But I think this is a line at -130 for Milan, where it's just kind of like, it stinks so bad, but you kind of have to take it, because that's what the books want you to do. They want you to avoid this line. And, Como haven't beaten Milan. Like, I just looked it up. You know, they've only played, you know, looks like head-to-head 3 times in this millennium. So it's it's not really a long history, but it hasn't happened yet. So, I'll give Milan some benefit of the doubt here at home. I think that's a little bit more reassuring at San Siro. And you know, I'm not going to let the books try to scare me off of this, because if I go Como, like, draw no bet or double chance here, and, you know, Milan come out and whoop them 2-0, 3-0, I'm going to feel like an idiot. So I'll pinch my nose here. I'll take Milan -130, because it's playable. It just kind of stinks. Like, I would love to get a little bit more value out of it, but I think that's what the books want me to think.
Yeah, a sharp-ish play is Como double chance, I think, at +105.
Right.
But like, both, I'm still in a mode where I've been burned too many times from Milan, and the second I fade them, they roll out with 3 or 4 goals. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that that happens.
Exactly what
I think.
So I
will not give that advice out to my friends here in the chat. I will not give that advice out to our listeners. I'm refusing to get burned by Milan anymore. If they run off a string of like 5 straight wins, then I'm going to say, great, I was just too early. You know, I was 30 weeks too early to believe in Milan, but I need to see it, and I need to see them just take control of a game. And I haven't seen them do that yet.
Yeah, that's fair. That's all good stuff. I'm taking a look. I know we don't have lineups, and it's going to be kind of, you know,
we got Oaks here on the over, which I kind of agree with Oaks.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you said Pulisic hasn't been sharp. He had two goals against Lecce. I know that.
That's true.
Know,
he was instrumental in that comeback.
He's sitting at +205. Why not? Right. Like, if there's going to be someone that gets a start, you would figure it's the guy that just got a brace in last weekend's game. So maybe a little Pulisic anytime goal scorer +205. That's not too bad. Honestly, I'd love to take some form of shot on target, but like, there's 15 guys that are -150 or worse. So yeah. I think that tells you all you need to know about where books see this game going. It's going to be
and they still do the thing, right? You say it all the time, right? Chances FC, like, they still do generate the offense. They just haven't gotten the results.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to bet on Jimenez to have 2 shots on target and only get +120. Like, ain't moving the needle.
So you're going to take double chance for Como, and I'll take.
I think that's the sharp play,
I feel like that tells me you're going to take it.
I can't. Maybe just an over for me.
Yeah, I'm going to try to like outthink the books. I'm just going to take Milan -130. I think they really want me to not take it. I think that's what they're trying to do. And honestly, I don't mind Pulisic at +205. Either way, it feels
definitely
playable.
No, I think it's a player prop game. No doubt about it. So, yeah, if anybody's watching, check out the chat. I mean, we got 4 Milan fans in here that are all just spitting knowledge. So appreciate you guys for that. I think, you know, my thoughts on the team, you know, our thoughts on the team, we're almost, you know, we're almost fans with you. So appreciate the support and the commentary here. Good luck to you guys. -130 on the money line might ultimately be what we take. We'll touch on Lazio Bologna next, just because it's got some table implications. You know, fifth and sixth, they're separated by 1 point. Have to give Bologna really a lot of credit. I guess you have to give both teams credit. You know,
no, Bologna, I'm giving Lazio no credit right now after their performance on Monday.
That's more than fair, but some called that. Bologna, listen, winners of 4 out of their last 5, that, you know, a team that nobody expected anything from once they lost their coach. I'm not a huge fan of their current coach. They're getting wins, and they're getting wins kind of the same way they did last year. Like, they don't really have consistent offense. They're not getting output from anybody game in and game out, week in and week out. I think Castro, their striker, is phenomenal talent. He's 19 years old. He's doing the thing. He seems to score like every other game. You can get him at like +300. I think that's always worth a shout. +130 for this team at home. Lazio +205. And this is totally the game where if Lazio had beaten Udinese last week, I would say come in and fade them. Bologna's going to win the game at home. Now, because Lazio blew that, I don't know what to think. They also have a game tomorrow against Victoria Pilsen. It is at home, thankfully, but I don't know. It just kind of throws a wrench into my thinking. The draw is sitting at +195, and I think that tells the entire story of this game. A draw would not shock me in the slightest.
Yeah, I was going to say Lazio, as much as I made fun of them earlier, they're still unbeaten in their last 6. Lazio draw no bet is sitting right there at +115. Yeah, draw line certainly playable, and it seems like it's a very, you know, favorable option here at +195. So the draw protection is good in that sense. The real, you know, wild card here is, you know, how does Lazio fare on the road coming off of a loss, or not a loss, a draw that felt kind of like a loss, and then potentially what happens in on Thursday. So that's the only wrinkle I have with taking them on draw no bet +115. I still think that they're going to get something out of this. I just, you know, I'm still a little angry at them for not winning against Udinese on Monday.
No, I think that's more than fair. Let me pull up the recent results so I can be super accurate here. 1-2. No, they haven't really been scoring, man. I was going to say Lazio team total at +200 is kind of silly enough to bait me into taking it.
How about both teams to score -125? Bologna scoring. I know Bologna's defense, but, you know,
yeah, they're scoring a goal a game.
Lazio to get something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both teams to score -125 isn't too bad.
A lot of bettable numbers in this game. That's all I'm trying to say. For me to pick a side right now, tough. I'm having a hard time with sides this week, but I think there's just so many options for you guys here. Hopefully we're pushing you in the right direction.
Yeah. See, there's some really funny numbers in here too. Like Lazio just a score in the first half, +130.
And I don't know. A lot of Lazio games have first half goals. It's one of those teams too. My best advice for a Lazio game is like wait 7, 8, 9 minutes and then take first half goal, like for either team, just over half a goal in the first half, and hits more often than not.
Yeah. Fair.
All right. Breeze through some of these other ones. Man, what did the Roma money line just shift by like 100 points?
I don't know. Is Coach Steve betting right now?
Coach Steve just dropped a bomb on Roma.
Shift of numbers. Money mover.
Yeah.
Market maker Coach Steve pushing Roma.
Never mind. I had Roma pulled up to talk about, and now I don't know why, because they're -200. So we're not going to talk about them.
Yeah. Wrong Rome club to bet on this week.
All right. Let's get to the two really, really big ones. What are
Fiorentina versus Juve?
That's the one.
The odds. You want me to hit you? Let's do it. Fiorentina sitting at home, plus 225 underdog. Juve on the road, plus 120. You can also get Fiorentina if you like the home team. Drano bet at plus 130. Nick, I feel like this is a game that, you know, I say it a lot, but, you know, if Juve's dropping points here, how concerned do they have to be about dropping out of the top four?
They should be concerned, but of course Lazio did the most Lazio thing ever, as we talked about on Monday, which was really fucking frustrating. Fiorentina
and Lazio play first this time, right? They're playing before Juve in the morning, so maybe that's the time.
Maybe that's the time. Here's my real deal issue. Fiorentina are a dumpster fire right now. I believe they've lost 5 out of 6. They've definitely lost 4 out of 5. So I don't know that I trust them. I do like that they're at home, but they have to be kind of happy that they just saw this Juve team ship 4 goals to Atalanta, who has looked equally bad. So if Atalanta could do it, Fiorentina has to feel like there's some goals in them in this game. I'm trying to hold out hope. I'm trying to talk us into betting them because I want them to win the game or get something out of it. Juve just looks bad. They're not scoring goals. They have no fluidity up front. They are maybe not believing in the coach anymore is kind of what I'm hearing. And their defense has come back down to earth a little bit. So there's no reason not to take a shot with Fiorentina in this game.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
John said the exact reason that we're looking for.
Yeah, that is true. This game, more than any of the other ones we've talked so far, scream draw to me. Like a 1-1 draw is
plus 200.
So perfect. This, I think, has to be a game. You know, Juve, what? They have 13 draws out of, 28 matches played so far this year. They're a 50% draw club. They're due for a draw here. When was the last time they actually drew? Because they've actually been
a while. They ran off like a 6 or 7 game win streak before they just lost.
I am confidently going to be betting the draw line in this. I don't see either side getting a leg up here. And it kind of fits the narrative too, right? Like I think if Juve draw and Lazio can squeak out a win, nice little leapfrog on the table, put Lazio back in the top four.
I like what you're saying.
Maybe I was just a week late or week early last week.
Yeah, and listen, here's the thing. They went on a nice little purple patch, but it's a team that's out of the domestic cup. It's a team that's out of Champions League. It's now a team that's probably out of the Scudetto race, even though nobody seems to want to win it. They're closer to, you know, fifth and sixth than they are to first, right? So you kind of almost have to like Fiorentina to score 2 goals at plus 220. I mean, again, Fiorentina has been very, very bad, but seeing the state that Juve's in and the fact that a very kind of offensively similar Atalanta put up 4 goals against them.
Yeah.
You know, Fiorentina have a top two striker in the league. They have a team that's good on set pieces. They have subs on the bench. I don't know. I want to be able to see it.
Yeah. Aside from the reverse fixture that was around New Year's this season, that was a 2-2 draw, Juve versus Fiorentina. Neither team had scored more than one goal dating back to early 2022. So they had 4 consecutive matches where it was either 1-0 or 1-1. And so I was going to take the under on this, but it's not really playable. It's minus 165. So that's the only reason why I would maybe stay away from the Fiorentina team total on that.
No, and again,
it's not necessarily a fixture that has a long history of being high scoring affair.
I agree with that. And anytime I give out a number like that, it's like, unless I tell you explicitly that, yes, I am like betting on this or I believe in this.
That's if you're feeling yourself. Lots of like gotten 3 points and you're like,
you know, hey, if we're feeling good. And by the way, this team just gave up 4 goals. You're giving me plus 200 for another team to get half of that. I can see it happening. It's obviously not, you know, the likeliest because Scotty just hit us with logic and reason, but I would love to see them kick Juve while they're down.
I'm going to have to reduce my logic and reason on this podcast because that's not as entertaining.
We need that. That's the balance that people are looking for.
I usually would let Coach Steve bring that, but he's not here.
I know. If anybody wants to come on the show, you can't be yourself. You have to be Coach Steve if you come on the show. Like, that's the criteria. Yeah.
You don't give me at least 3 XG stats in the course of the hour, you're not getting invited back.
And like, here's the shit. Coach Steve is missing the show when Roma is on like a 9-game winning streak and in seventh place. Like not even a month ago, this dude was ready to just like never watch Roma again. We had him completely broken. We've been building up to it for like 3 years, just throwing those Roma digs. And now Roma goes on an absolute fucking rampage and Coach Steve's missing the show.
It's great.
So
it's great timing. Oaks, you're not invited on the pod then. We can't have you coming in and saying Team XG isn't real as Coach Steve. That's just not how it works. You have to wait until Coach Steve is back to come back on the pod.
That's facts. All right. The big, big, big one of the weekend. Atalanta at home to Inter. Atalanta plus 150. Favored at home. Inter plus 165. Another sneakily suspicious draw line at plus 220. Don't look now. Atalanta, who I have felt like have been in the poorest form of anybody, is just 3 points back. Can tie Inter with a win in this game at home. Do you believe they have what it takes to do it? Or does Inter do what Inter has been doing for the past couple of years? Their Champions League quarterfinal qualification is behind them. Do they start to right the ship?
Yeah, you know me, I'm a fan of the narrative. I'm a fan of betting the lines the way that I think the story will unfold. And in this one, I would love to say Atalanta makes the unlikeliest leaps into the top of the table at the end of the match week by taking over or by beating Inter and taking over first place on goal differential. But then I just looked at the matchup history and Inter have smoked Atalanta in 6 straight matches. Atalanta hasn't even scored against Inter in their last 3.
Yeah.
That is not a trend that's going to be bucked lightly.
It was one of Inter's 3 very good performances this year. One of them was against Atalanta. To answer your question, Ahmed, Ederson has been outstanding this year. Is he the best? I don't know if I'm willing to say that, but is he in the conversation for the best? Absolutely. I think, you think of Brazilians and like he doesn't come to mind as your typical Brazilian because he plays a little bit deeper back. He's like outstanding defensively, but also he does have those Brazilian moves when he wants them. He gets forward, he can get shots, he can get goals. So he does everything and he's having a breakout year. So I definitely do agree with that. Big Wes Oaks, he is the most disrespected player in Serie A. I don't think there's a question about that. So here's my thing. We're looking at a game with 2 teams. 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top 5 players are in the top 5 of goal scorers for the year in the league. 4 of the top 5 are featured in this game. The shortest odds to score a goal is Retegi at plus 180. Leading the league in goals. So I don't know if you're giving me around plus 200 for the guy that leads the league in goals. I don't really care the circumstances of the game. I don't care where it is, who they're playing, what his record is against them, what he ate for breakfast. None of that shit matters. I'm going to go out there and take the league leading goal scorers around plus 200. Lautaro is plus 200. Lookman is plus 230. Thuram is plus 230. I don't know. Like, pick who you like.
Yeah.
Got to be one of those games. And I think there has to be fireworks. There just has, like, I don't know. Like, how does Atalanta just not open themselves up and go for it? That's my rational line of thinking. Emotionally, what I've seen over the past month and a half, Atalanta just fucking make you light your money on fire and you're pissed off that you watch them. They can't finish anything they get started. They got guys like Pasalic and Samardzic, who just do absolutely fucking nothing on the field. CDK hasn't fucking scored or assisted, I feel like, in 2 months. I can't remember the last time that dude's name was fucking called. So it's just, Lookman, who obviously is an exceptionally talented player and has done wonders for this team for 2 years, just like is one of the most selfish players I think I've ever seen. And I don't think that gets talked about at all. So they've had nothing but these frustrating games where we've lost money on team totals. We've lost money on easy money lines. We've lost money on whatever. Now you're telling me They have to go beat league leaders Inter when they haven't beat them in how many games, however many you said. Tough for me to buy it. I don't know. It really is.
I think this is the kind of game where I either take a bath and I go like 0 for 5.
Right.
Or I come out just rolling in dough. Because Inter draw no bet at minus 110 is impossible for me to pass up given that streak. That they not only are they unbeaten in six against Atalanta, they've just straight outright won six in a row.
Yeah.
So I'll happily take minus 110 for draw no bet with Inter. Beyond that, Inter team total over 1.5 is plus 125. That's easy. You just listed off all these anytime goal scorers. Like, how do you not take both Lautaro and Marcus Thuram at plus 225, plus 250? If one of them scores, you're cashing out. You know, it's basically like getting both for 125.
Yep.
Or either of them cashing at plus 125. And if both hit, huge win. I don't know. I think, like, we'll just dive all in on Inter on this and, you know, pray to God that they can put up. If they put up at least two, I'm not coming out, you know, stinking, right? I'm coming out with a little bit of something in my pocket.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it because you've cashed the team total and they're like 90% chance one of those two players scored a goal.
Yeah.
If not both. So.
And the Inter have scored at least two goals in the last five games against Atalanta. So it's not even like they're
Atalanta trouncing. Not known for their defense.
No, certainly not.
Is what we're saying.
Unless they're playing Juve.
Yeah, I would really love to know what anybody else is on in this game. If you guys have any leans, if you have any thoughts, if you have any bets, throw them our way in the chat. But the only like flip side, devil's advocate, what scares me, why is Atalanta the favorite?
Because they have three clean sheets in a row. That's the only reason why. And they're not a home team. We've said it every time we talk Atalanta.
That's why I'm asking, are they the favorite? Makes no sense. When it makes no sense...
I'm going to take a bath on this because I'm going to go all in on Inter and it's going to be like the first time in 5 years that Atalanta beat Inter, but what am I going to do? This is too good to pass up.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right. And I could sit here and try to talk myself or anybody else or you, not you, into one bet or the other, but sharp play for me is Inter. Man, even Inter plus a quarter of a goal, it's fucking juicy. It's chalky. It's minus 140, but like, how does it lose?
I don't know. But again, like, I'm happy with the draw no bet at minus 110 because I think they win. They won six in a row.
Yeah. I agree. Definitely agree. Anything else in this game before we just very briefly touch on what else is going on in the world?
No, like I said, I think I just, I dove all in on all the Inter stuff. You could probably talk me into like Inter to score in first half and shit like that too.
Fine. I'll take it.
I don't fucking care. If you're selling Inter on this game, I'll buy it from you.
Yeah. No, John, we got one buyer in Johnny. Inter draw no bet, impossible to pass. I tend to agree.
It's impossible.
Man, just want to quickly throw out a couple bets in Spain, and I'm.
Can I ask one of the Real Madrid boys in the chat a question? Yeah. Why are Real Madrid only plus 110 at Villarreal?
That's the first place I was going.
What's the trick here? Are they going out partying because they beat Atletico on PKs and they're just going to rest the A squad? Is that what's happening here? I need to know.
But why doesn't their B squad win the game?
That I don't know either.
In La Liga, like, we don't always dive into it. Like, the title race is fucking fascinating. There's three teams that can win the title that are all within points of each other. So it's super similar situation. Madrid plus 110 was immediately where I went. I think Real Betis, I was looking at it even money. One thing I will say, I think they play tomorrow, so could be a tough one. But the big matchup here, man, is Atletico at home to Barcelona. I think we got to touch on it. We got a Barca team who did what they needed to do. We had an Atletico team who, I'll say, they looked good against Real Madrid.
They basically
today.
Did what they needed to do, right? I mean, they got it to PKs. So
yeah, no question. But how do you not take Barcelona? I don't know. They're just fucking firing on all cylinders. And yeah. I just really, I mean, I don't like either team. I really don't like Atletico Madrid. And I don't like to root for them. I don't like to watch them. I don't like to bet on them.
I mean, that's because you enjoy the sport. You don't enjoy terrorism.
that's facts.
That's why. Yeah, Oaks. I mean, if you are going up against Atletico and you don't expect at least 10 good shin kicks, then you're unprepared. No, that's just the name of the game. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't bet against Barcelona in the way that they're running right now. It just seems like Rafinha just seems to be as automatic as anybody in Europe at the moment. Yeah, I mean, you can get Barcelona. There's so many different things you can play. Like Barcelona team total, I get it. It's -130. It's pretty playable at that, so I don't mind that. Money watch line out for sure.
We got hot advice, not religious advice from Ahmed here. But he is hitting all the
he
sins.
He likes Atleti?
He's hitting all the sins, so he's taking Atleti too.
I'm telling you, man, like the reason why I don't like Atletico is the same reason why I'm concerned about Liverpool on Sunday. It's like when you play 120 minutes and you come away with a loss of PKs, like it's hard to just bounce back 3 days later. And especially 100%. When you're playing a team like Barcelona, dude, that fucking sucks. So I get it, but it's for my own brain, I can't pass up Barcelona on this one.
Yeah, and nobody can really afford to drop points, right? So we have Barca and Real are tied at 57. Atletico's right there at 56. So like you kind of need to win your home game. But I can't buy them in this exact situation. Barcelona over 1.5 team total at -120. Like they get fucking red cards and they still hit their team total. Like they are just fucking doing it. Yamal is nasty. Whether, you know, whatever we could say, he's really fucking good. You mentioned Rafinha. It's a dude that, you know, I didn't know if he was going to be able to make that step to Barca, and he took him a little while, but now he looks like he went to the fucking academy. And then they trot out, you know, 6 or 7 dudes that I never heard of, and they come in and it's Pedri and Wadri and Madri and Kadri, and the, you know, they're fucking scoring and assisting every game. Gabby. So like I want everybody to watch it. I want everybody to bet it and win money. I don't think the over 2.75, it's a tough one for me. Yeah. But I think you gotta back Barca here. I think they have to get to.
I think you back Barca. I think I'm gonna take a shot, Lamine Yamal. Anytime assist is +380. That dude's got what, like fucking 18 assists this season, or something crazy like that. So I don't mind taking that at that number. But yeah, if you want to ride it with Atleti and think they bounce back, by all means, go for it. It's just as a fan of a team that's coming off of 120 minutes of demoralizing play, it's hard for me to envision a strong bounce back this weekend.
And I'll give my best and worst gambling advice that I like to give out. You take context out of it, everything that we just told you, which is important, just based on raw numbers, you're getting the league leader at +120. I take that every single time. I need to do no more investigating into what's going on in this game, what the situation is, where it's played, who's hot, who's not. Give me the league leaders at plus money. Like I will always bet that. I'll bet it 100% of the time. If it loses, sorry guys, I pushed Barcelona.
Yeah, worst things have happened.
So, kind of where I stand on it. But some good games in La Liga as well. So, absolutely a ton to look at this week. I think there was a good one in France too, if I'm not mistaken.
In France, I was going to say there's Leipzig and Dortmund in Bundesliga. I'm going to take the over in that game, over 2.5.
Oh, let down for Dortmund. It's got to be.
Oh, I thought the 2.5 was going to be playable. It's not. I should have known better.
No, I can't trust either team.
I'll take over 1.5 team totals for both teams because I think that happens. But it's +100 either way. So I'll get my money back if one team does it.
Yeah, PSG Marseille. Like, is this a fade PSG spot, or do they care an awful lot about their invincible record?
Nope.
That's the question.
Just like I'm buying everything Inter for this weekend, I'll buy everything PSG for the next 2 months. I think they're an incredible team right now. And probably the best form in Europe, too, like I would say.
I have to agree.
At least since Kvara has come over. I think really that's been like the missing link. Once Kvara came over in January, like, dude, that. You know, you have a front three of Dembele, who's in unbelievable form this season for the first time in, 7 years? You know, obviously, Barcola is young, but
he's maybe the most underrated player of the year.
Yeah. Well, going to be one of the best forwards in Europe for probably the next decade. And then just adding Kvara, who, again, another guy whose work rate I was blown away by. Because, you know, as much as, you know, Mendes shut down Salah, dude, Kvara was there when Mendes, you know, wasn't there on the odd time. So credit to him. That dude ran a fuck ton. Yeah, I'm not betting against PSG anytime in the near future. You can't talk me into it.
No, I like it. Man, red card game. I dig that. I think over 4.5 cards is playable by itself. It's plus 125. I think it gets a little nasty here. Yeah, you got to go 3.5. I mean, it's almost a game I would. Almost.
All right. I don't know if there's any other countries we can cover, but we got you 5 countries in 1 hour. So
yeah, hey, 59 minutes, 37 seconds. Now I think that's solid for today. Man, as always, appreciate you guys in the chat so much. Thank you guys, everybody who tuned in. Definitely appreciate it. Hit us with a retweet, with a like, with a subscribe. Helps an awful lot. We'll be back with you next week to do it all over again.
International break, my friend.
We won't be back with you next week because it's international break. No way.
So it's two-week international break. And maybe we can talk coach into returning after international break. We'll see.
Ooh, possibility. I like it. Appreciate it, guys.